Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
The Book of Psalms was the songbook of the Hebrew people. Psalm 80 was written in a time when the people were exiled from their homeland. In it, we hear the conviction and hope that God will restore the people. Listen to the psalmist. Shepherd of Israel, hear us. You who led Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned on the cherubim, shine out. Shine out before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your power and come to save us. O God, return to us. Let your face smile on us, and we will be saved. Another community at a later time, the early Christians, also lived in a time of oppression by the Roman occupiers. The letters that circulated among them gave them hope for the future. Hear this excerpt from the first letter to the Corinthians. I continually thank my God for you because of the gift bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, in whom you have been richly endowed with every gift of speech and knowledge. In the same way, the testimony about Christ has been so confirmed among you that you lack no spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The first gospel reading of Advent from the book of Mark describes life as calamity. In the midst of it, Jesus reminds his disciples to make sure they pay attention and don't get distracted by all the bad news. Stay awake, stay alert, he says. Watch for the signs of a new day. But in those days, after that time of distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will lose its brightness, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Promised One coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then the angels will be sent to gather the chosen from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Take the fig tree as a parable. As soon as its twigs grow supple and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the Promised One is near, right at the door. The truth is, before this generation has passed away, all these things will have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But as for that day or hour, nobody knows it, neither the angels of heaven nor the only begotten, no one but Abba God. Be constantly on the watch. Stay awake. You do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like people traveling abroad. They leave their home and put the workers in charge, each with a certain task, and those who watch at the front gate are ordered to stay on the alert. Stay so alert. You do not know when the owner of the house is coming, whether at dusk, at midnight, when the cock crows, or at early dawn. Do not let the owner come suddenly and catch you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, stay alert.
Let us pray. Holy God of hope, we seek your presence in these darkening days. We seek a calm within and an absence of conflict between people and nations. But more deeply, we seek your shalom, the deep and abiding peace that will come only through the justice of your kingdom. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Over the years, I have developed some routines and rituals in the Advent and Christmas season. One of them is to listen to the soundtrack of the 1973 film Godspell during the week before the first Sunday of Advent. The film, which is based on the Broadway musical, tells the story of Jesus, Matthew's version of it anyway, through, I don't know how to describe it, hippie clown culture. It's totally campy, and I absolutely love it. I started listening to it for the first song, Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord, you know, because, well, Advent, it's a time of preparation, right? However, it's the second song on the soundtrack and in the movie that really gets me in the right mood, the right Advent mood. Does anybody remember what the second song is? No? All right. It's Save the People. When wilt thou save the people, O God of mercy, when? The people, Lord, the people, not thrones and crowns, but men. Now you recognize the song, right? Yeah. The song begins as a slow, like a lament, with Victor Garber's Jesus singing it as he emerges from the fountain of baptism. Soon, as the disciples are gathered, it becomes sort of an anthem as they're frolicking, I guess is the best word, through the streets of New York. And I cannot help but sing this song as a prayer for our world today. I don't know if Nancy could hear me, but I was doing that in my office this week. And as we begin the season of Advent this year, I'm really feeling this prayer. With the relentless war in Ukraine, unspeakable violence in Israel and Gaza, a broken political system, racism, anti-Semitism, climate change, and so many other crises, the world once again is threatening to overwhelm us. Our world, it's not okay right now. And God's apparent absence is not fine. It hurts. We're surrounded by evil and suffering, and we're not sure whether our faith can endure what our eyes reluctantly witness every day. And although we long for a Savior to come down and rend the heavens, the very ferocity of that longing is so tiring for our souls. Hope has become elusive. And it's such a grind that some days I just want to skip over the hopeful waiting and get right to that Christmas joy. But I also know that I need to hear the Advent message that God is coming. I need to begin Advent with hopeful waiting. Our text for this first Sunday of Advent really know a thing or two about searching for hope when the world is groaning in despair. Psalm 80 was written while most of the Israelites were exiled into Babylon, wondering if they would ever see their home again, and wondering if they could, how in the world could they worship a God in a foreign land when their tradition believed that God lived in the temple in Jerusalem. And in our reading from Mark's gospel, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death and his resurrection, as well as reassuring his readers who are living in the immediate aftermath of the temple being destroyed by the Roman occupiers. And in the Isaiah passage assigned for this day, but we didn't read, we hear anguish and longing for God to save God's people. Here, the first couple of verses of that. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence. It's from Isaiah 64. At the heart of the Advent season is a deep wound. God's groaning, limping creation still waits for its healer to appear, bringing into reality what Christians know through faith, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Now you might be wondering, how could we possibly turn our attention towards Advent, preparing to celebrate the joy of Christmas, if we're paying any attention to the world? How do we celebrate when our hearts are breaking? When we might be lonely, or bored, or tired, or sick, or broke, or afraid? When we're grieving, when we're sad? When we feel like this, celebrating the season can seem callous and uncaring, if not impossible. But here's the thing. We enter Advent because we are paying attention. It is because everything hurts that we prepare for Advent. It's because we have stood in hospital rooms and at gravesides, in quiet bedrooms. We've sat at empty kitchen tables that we resolutely light these candles each week. It is because of all this I can stand up here and boldly proclaim that we can have hope. Because we have grieved, we hope. Hope dares to admit that everything is not how it should be. So if we are to be hopeful, we have to grieve. We need to recognize that something is broken, something is missing, and there's a reason we need hope. Advent matters because it is our way of keeping our eyes and our hearts and our arms wide open, full of hope, even in the midst of any grief and longing. The weary world is still waiting in so many ways, in so many hearts, and in so many places for the kingdom of God to come. And so we wait and we listen to the stories in preparation for God to come again, because we have hope. And it's the kind of hope that really feels alive because it emerges from the pit of despair. It rises up and above all that noise and leads the way. So where do we find this hope? In Jesus' final mini parable in our reading from the Gospel of Mark, he gives examples of servants working together to care for someone's household. Everyone has their job, including the doorkeeper, whose job it is to watch the door. The reason the household can be ready for the master's return is because everyone is working together with their own jobs in community. And together they can stay alert, filled with hopeful anticipation. And friends, that's the answer right there. We find hope in community, in each other, in the gift of our very selves. You are the gift of hope. You are the gift. Your very presence is the hope that someone else needs. Bell Hooks writes, "We have to be aware that the extent to which individualism has actually been an assault on community. When the genuine stuff of life is our interdependency, it's our capacity to feel both with and for ourselves and other people. You are the gift of hope this season. Don't let that scare you, though. God works with you just the way you are. God doesn't wait for you to have it all together. You don't need to be anyone but yourself for your very presence to be a gift of hope for someone today. When will God save the people? when we realize that God is counting on us to do our part. In the words of bell hooks again, rarely, if ever, are any of us healed in isolation. You are the hope. You are the gift. Your presence makes all the difference. So let us be present with hope to those who need it.